Atlanta, Georgia.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday morning to you, Brevard County. Guess what? The sun has come up in the east this morning. That means God's covenant is still into effect, and you and I can look forward to everything that God has in store for us today. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM and spending the next half hour with us as we discuss the fruit of the Spirit today out of Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and that is what we are talking about today. And the word peace, shalom, it means peace, it means completeness, it means welfare, it means health, it means prosperity, salvation, full, complete, wholeness, a finished work. It means integrity in every aspect of your being. And so that is what we have to look forward to as we're going to this morning look at about three additional threats. We talked about some threats to peace earlier, I think last week on a broadcast, but today we're going to look at three more threats and want to make sure that we avoid those. I do want to take a moment and just say thank you to all of the sponsors that come and make us part of or help us to bring this broadcast to you. It covers a small portion of the expense of this, and so this is part of our ministry. We want to see the Word of God reach as many people as we can possibly reach and allow the peace of God to rule and reign in your heart. So thank you to our many wonderful sponsors. Want to let you know on Wednesday night, we have started a new study on the book of James. We have a class for boys, two or three classes going for girls, at least three that I know of for girls. And we're trying to get back in the swing of things there as school begins. I'm going to be finishing my sermon on Sunday, my sermon series on back to school. I've got a message that I'm going to be preaching on September the 3rd. I also have some other duties that I'm going to be filling that day. And then on September the 10th, I'm going to be starting a series on pursuing greatness. And so I know I mentioned to you that I was going to start it. I'm going to start it that day. And I need to tell you that it is not greatness as the world defines it. It is greatness as far as God wants us to pursue it. And so that will begin on September, I believe it's September the 10th, second Sunday in September. So with that being said, let's get into the Word of God today. We're going to be looking in 2 Kings chapter 9. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. To give you a little bit of background for this, Elijah was running from Jezebel. He had just successfully ended 3.5 years of drought. God had miraculously sustained him during that time, had miraculously sustained a widow and her son during that time, a widow in Zarephath. He had come back, confronted Ahab, defeated the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and now he was sitting there minding his own business, and he got a threat from Jezebel, and it sent him running for fear. And, you know, I will tell you this, that you and I, sometimes we have to be careful that right after a spiritual victory, the enemy will come in and try and undermine the very victory we just attained. Jezebel threatened to kill him, and he had just overcome in the king's presence 850 prophets of other gods. And the children of Israel had cried out, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." They were redefining and repledging themselves to the worship of God. And now he's running in fear. And I want you to know God's not giving us a spirit of fear. He travels in the strength of the food that the angels prepared for him. And he goes to the Mount of God. He has an encounter with God. And God tells Elijah, "Look, I'm not through with you yet. I've got three things that I want you to do. I want you to anoint Elisha as your successor. I want you to anoint Jehu, and I want you to anoint Hazael." And so he successfully anointed Elijah, but it was left to Elisha to finish the two things that were yet to be done by Elijah. And so that's what brings us to 2 Kings chapter 9. And it says in verse number 1, "And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, 'Get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to an inner room and take the flask of oil, pour it on his head and say, Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee. Do not delay.'" And the young man did exactly that. And so Jehu, once he is anointed, he begins to pursue the throne that God says that he was going to rise up to attain himself. Now, I want to caution you, because many times there is a gap in time between the promise of God or the call of God and the fulfillment of that. David understood that. Jehu immediately, once his companion started announcing that he was king, after he was anointed, he immediately began to pursue that. And there was wickedness on the throne of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and the throne of Judah, the two southern tribes, which were represented by Judah and Benjamin. Both of them had descendants there. They were related to Jezebel and her family. And so both kings, there was corruption, there was wickedness, and it was appalling to God. And so in I like a particular statement that is made here. And so let me just begin reading in verse number 14. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 14. "So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, 'If you are so minded, let no one leave or escape from the city to go and tell it in Jezreel.' So Jehu rode in a chariot and went up to Jezreel, for Joram was laid up there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and said, 'I see a company of men.' And Joram said, 'Get a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, Is it peace?' So the horseman went to meet him and said, 'Thus says the king, Is it peace?' And Jehu said, 'What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me.' So the watchman reported, saying, 'The messenger went to them, but is not coming back.' Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, 'Thus says the king, Is it peace?' And Jehu answered, 'What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me.' So the watchman reported, saying, 'He went up to them and is not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously.'" I love that verse. "Then Joram said, 'Make ready.' And his chariot was made ready. Then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu and met him on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many." Then Joram turned around and fled and said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah." Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow came out his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. So, first of all, let me talk about my favorite part of this verse number 20. It says, I don't know who it is, but the driving is like the driving of Jehu, and it ends, "For he drives furiously." I have had a number of things that have been told to me through the years, and one of them is that I'm a very driven individual. Now, you would find that there are some people with some type A personalities, and they might not describe me as a driven individual, but others who are possibly a little bit more laid back, they've called me a driven individual. I've had some other people who said, you're not as driven as what we'd like to be. And the truth of the matter is, if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to own a business, you have to be driven. You have got to be motivated. There are going to be people who they may not see your face, but they may recognize the way that you drive. And I want to ask you today, what drives you? What drives you? Are you driven by the word of God? Are you driven by the feelings of people? Are you driven by whatever is convenient? Are you driven by your education? Are you driven by your finances? Are you driven by your health? What is it that drives you? Because there are people in your life that they are going to be able to recognize you simply by knowing your drive. They know how you drive. Now, you can tell if someone is late or if they have left to give themselves a cushion in order to get there on time. A person who is leaving early, they're not going to be departing from a red light or a stop sign like a dragster on a quarter mile run. They're not going to be squealing the tires. They're going to be looking to be cautious and things like that. And you know, that's the drive of a person that's prepared. Other people who maybe something came up or there's an emergency on the other end, and when they drive very aggressively. I've got a friend, and he said he's from New Jersey originally, a long, long time ago in a land far, far away. And he said that when he happens to go back and visit that region of the country, that his driving automatically kicks back into driving in big city driving. He doesn't get to drive that way down here. There's not the road system, the infrastructure that allows him to drive like that. And so I just want to ask you today, would people recognize you by your drive? I'm not talking about the car that you drive. I'm talking about, would they recognize you according to what drives you on a daily basis? Some people are driven by guilt. Some people are driven by unforgiveness. Some people are driven by anger and hostility. Some people are driven by bitterness and hurt. Some of us, we are supposed to be driven by love. Christians are supposed to be known for our love for God and love for one another. That's what our driving is supposed to be like. Jehu was recognized for his drive. And the king of Israel, Joram, and Ahaziah, the king of Judah, they went out, and they asked, Joram asked, "Is it peace? Have you come in peace?" Remember in some of the earlier broadcasts, we've talked about a lifestyle of peace where you are going in peace. And you know, how you make an entrance into a situation determines to a large degree what sort of reception you are going to get when you arrive. If you're in a good mood when you get to work, there's a good chance that you're going to find people in a better mood than you expected. If you're in a bad mood when you go to work, it's going to, you're going to need to find some place to correct that and make an attitude adjustment. how you arrive is very important. And so here was this military man, this commander, and he arrives and the king goes out and he says, you know, I just want to know what brings you here today? What brings you to the Refresh Radio program on Tuesday? Is it the shalom of God, or is it the cares of this life? Is it sickness? Is it problems? Is it a desire to become more like Jesus? Is it a curiosity that you just want to kind of find out a little bit more about God? What is it that brings you here? Because that motive that brings you is going to have an effect upon how you receive this. If you are looking to hear a verbal blunder, you're probably going to hear it. If you are looking to find fault with the radio program, maybe I say too much. Maybe I take too many uncertain breaths. I say sometimes. If you're looking for spit shine and polish, you might not find it here. You're going to leave disappointed because of the way that you came in. Is it peace that brings you here today? If you have come in and you find, if you have peace and it's what brought you here, then you are going to find that you're going to want to be peace. Well, peace was not what brought Jehu that day. And he asks the king a very interesting question. And he said this is the last part of verse number 22. What peace as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many? So here we see that there were two threats to people who were not at peace with God. If we have peace with God, it is going to transfer, it's going to emanate, it's going to radiate into our relationships with other people. Right now, there is tremendous hurt, pain, anguish, anger. There are a lot of upset people in our community right now. Not just our community, but in our nation right now, around the world. There are people that are constantly fighting and you know, feeling victimized all the time. And I want to ask you, are you at peace with God? Because I will tell you this, the greatest victim that ever lived on planet Earth, his name was Jesus. Because he never sinned. He never fell short. He fulfilled all righteousness. He loved and ministered to people, whether they were the up and outers or the down and outers. He ministered to people that other people wouldn't talk to. He was willing to be moved with compassion on a regular basis. He lived a sinless and spotless life, and they nailed him to a cross. But instead of going out as a victim, he realized that there was joy, that there was peace, that there was reconciliation on the other side of the cross, and he chose to live as a conqueror. And you and I, because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, are more than conquerors through him. I was having a conversation with a guest speaker that we had one time, and we were talking about one of my favorite preachers, and I made this statement. I said, when it comes to preaching, he preaches victory. When it comes to another area of his life, he lives as a victim. And he said, what did you say? He wanted to make sure that I heard what I was saying, because there are a lot of people, you have victory in one area of your life, but you cling to victimhood on the other side. Today, I want you to know that if other people have abused you, wounded you, said horrible things about you, denied you privileges, first of all, I will say this, join the club. The second thing is, I would say, don't take it to heart. Let it go. Let it go. Don't live. Do not allow the hurts that other people have brought on you to have control over your life. Man, this broadcast is going so quickly today. So Jehu says that there were two threats to peace, and the one of them was harlotries. The harlotries of his mother. Jezebel was a Baal worshiper. Her father had been king over Tyre and Sidon. She brought in Baal worship into the nation of Israel, where Baal worship was not supposed to take place. Judah was infected. You see, just because someone says they worship God doesn't mean that they worship the one true God. If you can't find it in the Bible, then you need to make sure, you'd better do a little further investigating to make sure that you are on sound theological grounds. I've had a conversation with someone recently, and they told me where they had been, and I was like, oh. And they tried to reassure me that it was okay because they talked about God. You need to find out, are they talking about the God of the Bible, or are they talking about some other God? Because to God, it's a big deal. You know, let me put it to you this way. It is not just sufficient that I go home to a wife at the end of the day. It's very important to me and to my wife that I go home to the right wife. And that's her. Okay. She's the only one. She's the only one. And when it comes to God, you need to make sure that there is not spiritual unfaithfulness that is going on. The scripture says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve two different gods. You can't serve your career and serve God at the same time. You can serve God and he bless you in your career, but you've got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And harlotries is more than unfaithfulness. Harlotries is synonymous with the term of prostitution. It is a spiritual problem. Okay, if I can tell you this, the Bible talks about a spirit of harlotry. It is something that comes out of the heart, and there is a price to pay for it. And it is more than a financial transaction. In Proverbs, it describes that a young man who gives in to this immorality and harlotry, that he doesn't realize that it's going to cost him his life and his eternity. And I will say this, it will cost you peace. It will cost you peace. So the second thing that he describes is her witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the scripture says. We're in 2 Kings chapter 9, and this is verse number 22. And Jehu, this newly anointed man who would be king and ends up sitting upon the throne for a number of generations, and he says, there cannot be peace when there is witchcraft in the land. And this is witchcraft that had reached the throne room of the kingdom. That's what had taken place. And so you and I, we need to make sure, yes, that there is no demonic spiritual influence in our life. That's very important. But second, that there is no rebellion in our life. Rebellion will cost you peace. Spiritual prostitution will cost you peace. I want you to know that my services are not out for the highest bidder. I'm not at Merit Assembly of God because when we came, it paid the best. It didn't have a salary package at all. In fact, there was a high price to pay for us to coming, but it wasn't a cost. It was an investment. It was an investment. On your balance sheet, there is income, there's expenses, and then there are investments. And a lot of us do not understand what it is like to spiritually invest in something. Now, I want to take you to one more, and we've talked about threats to peace, and that's the spiritual prostitution, the rebellion, the witchcraft, the spiritual witchcraft, seeking manipulation instead of God's favor. All of those things will cost you peace. The enemy can never bring you peace. And Jehu said, look, we are in rebellion to God. There is God, and as long as we stay under his authority, we're in the right place. If those in authority over us get out of line, then we've got a choice. Do we get under them or do we stay under God? And when Jehu came and said, you're out of line, you're costing this nation the soundness in every area of our society because your spiritual focus is out of line. You're in rebellion to God, and you are a spiritual prostitute. You're out for the highest bidder or the most fame or whatever. He said, and I'm not going to embrace that rebellion. I'm going to stay under where God is. And I find it amazing. Joram says treachery. Ahaziah claims treachery. Jezebel would claim treachery. Her mother would claim treachery. Everybody has no problem rebelling against God, but they don't want anybody to rebel against them. It'll cost you peace. It'll cost you peace. The last one, I've got a little over a minute here, and that's Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah was sick, and God had told him he was going to die. And Hezekiah prayed, and God heard his prayer and answered his prayer and sent Isaiah back to Hezekiah and said, I'm going to add 15 more years to your life. And when he got healed, the Babylonians sent people to find out about this great miracle. And Hezekiah revealed everything in his house. And Isaiah came back to him one more time and told him he had been foolish and what he had done, but that God was going to give him peace in his lifetime. And verse number 19 of 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah said this, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good, for he said, will there not be peace and truth at least in my days? One of the greatest threats to lasting peace is when we're willing to settle for temporary peace that will affect us, but it will not benefit the generations to follow. Can I get a few believers who will say, you know what? I'm not just complacent with God moving in my life. I'm looking for him to touch my neighborhood. I'm looking for his peace to rule and reign in my coworker's life, in my family member's life. I want to see my children's children. I want to see my children's children's children. I want to see them walking in the favor of God today. Today, don't let temporary peace be a substitute for lasting peace. Don't let rebellion or spiritual prostitution rob you of peace. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.